My dear Solomon, my friend, brother-in-law, brother in the mines, I hope you get this letter. I suppose I should be mad at you, but I'm not. When you asked me to cover your shift so you could marry that beautiful senorita who runs the post office, I thought to myself, finally. Good for Solomon for finally finding his voice. The quiet boy learns how to speak. Good for you, brother. She's muy bonita. Your sister and I are excited to welcome her into the family. Just be careful, hermano. She's a heartbreaker. But I guess you fixed that, didn't you? I'm glad it was me, and not you today. You're a good man, Solomon. Better than me. Better than your sister. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I'm going to get out of here. This collapse happened out of nowhere. I have never seen anything like it. The canary, Solomon, the canary was fine. It was fine. It was chirping a lot, but no more than normal. It all started when Israel and Al-Saideh were arguing about who the mine belonged to. Those two, they hate each other, and yet they always seem to be working the same vein. And here they were going at it again. It was odd. As the arguments progressed, they got louder and louder. First, they were yelling at each other in English, then Spanish, then an older Spanish. And then they were going at it in completely different languages. I've never seen anything like it before. And they weren't even speaking the same language. I remember as Al-Saideh was yelling the temperature, it got hotter. I could have sworn his eyes were glowing at one point. In Israel, he slammed his fist into the rock, and the canary just crumpled in its cage. As if he had hit it himself. Al-Saideh, he flipped. He took a deep breath in, and as he inhaled, Solomon, I swear, it was like he glowed. Like he was made of embers. He screamed, and there was a flash of light, and the next thing I knew, I woke up in a collapsed chamber. I'm writing this letter to you in the hopes that... Look, Solomon, you were always the smartest guy I know. I know Israel and Al-Saideh, they got out. They know something. Figure it out. For me, look, I'm running out of time. The air here is miasma, and I can barely breathe. I'm gonna try and write your sister, but if I don't get through it, tell her I love her. Adios, Tomas.
Mi hijo. Francis, there isn't much time. I don't know where to start. For the past 10 years, I have been searching for proof. I've told you about your uncle in the mines, the day your mom and I got married. Everything went downhill from there. Those two men, Israel, emerged from the collapse, changed. There was a shadow about him, and bad luck followed anyone who he encountered. He moved down the road to Sirius, to the house on the hill, and as soon as he showed up, the turquoise dried up. The veins were poisoned. It was killing our home. I thought we would be spared hardship. After all, I always walked the miles from home to Madrid to work in the coal. It's more dangerous, but the money's more steady. For a time, it was okay. The mine was safer after the collapse. Things felt like they were getting back to normal. Then one day, I was working a vein with Al-Saideh. I hated working with him. He's got a temper. The slightest thing makes him burst. And the oddest thing, I swore, being near him is like standing next to a fire in July. To say that he ran hot was an understatement. But today, he was in good spirits. He said that today was a special holiday. Couldn't think of any feast days off the top of my head. And I asked, what holiday is it? He said Eid, and that he would be celebrating all weekend. He looked at me, his eyes, they glowed like coals in a fire. He said, I'll make you an offer in honor of today. You do something for me. I will grant you a wish. Whatever your heart's desire, it's yours. He winked, and a spark flew off of his lashes. I told him there was nothing I wanted. And he said, Really? You don't think the whole town has noticed your wife? She's been spending a lot of time talking to the fellow postman. Must be hard for you. You're just a low miner and she's the postmaster for the region. You might not mind, but I bet she does. Another wink, another spark. Look, you go and take this to Israel over in your town. It's a gift for him, for Eid. Don't open it. You deliver this gift to the shadow of Moses. I'll make sure your wife won't go anywhere. Unless, of course, you wish for something else. The shadow of what? I asked. Let's just say we're cousins through Abraham, he whispered. As he moved toward me, I tried to say no, but he pushed the box into my hand. It was almost too hot to touch. I don't know what to say. I'm sitting here writing this letter to you, my oldest son, and I don't know what to do. He's not wrong about Yuffie. Your mother is... I don't think I'm enough for her. I'm just a simple man. But I love her. Adios mio. It's just a box. I'm gonna take it. Francis, if something happens to me, well, know that I do this for you and your brother and your sisters. You are the best part of me, and I hope this will make our lives better. I love Solomon.
I never told you about your abuelo. He was a good man, but a sad man. Your grandmother, she did not appreciate him, and I found him dead by the side of the road in Cerrillos when I was 6. After that, she gave us up and moved on. And well, you know the rest. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's today, and I decided to take a drive to my old home. It has changed a lot. I stopped for a beer at the Mineshaft Tavern. Did you know that? Your abuelo's old mine is a bar, museum, theater, all wrapped into one. And this man sat at the bar, dead of winter, in a t-shirt, as shorts. He started to make small talk. I figured he was one of those artists, you know, that moved into town. I told him my dad used to work in this mine. He looked at me. He had dark brown eyes, but it was like they were orange. Armijo, he asked. See, I whispered. He chuckled. Your family. Those are mijos. You got bad luck. My father. He lived in Madrid and he worked in the mine with your father. Shame what happened to him. It was, I said. You found him, no? The stranger asked. I'm sorry, do I know you? What did you say your name was? I asked. Habib. Habib El Moro. My father was Alcaide El Moro. He held out his hand. I grabbed it. It was hot. Well, Jerry, it was good to see you again. He winked. I saw a spark. I hope you find what you're looking for. And he downed his drink and walked out into the snow. Just as he left, he paused. It's gonna kill you. But not yet. But that disease, it will run you dry. And like that, he was gone. I sat for a while and finished my beer. I drove down the road to Cerrillos, to the Protestant cemetery. It was easy for the sheriff to say your abuelo killed himself, you know, so as not to start asking questions. Well, so he wasn't allowed to be buried in the Catholic cemetery. On my way into town, I looked up at the house on the hill. It was on the road leading up to it. That's where I found him. The house is still there, and I could see black smoke coming from the chimney. Old Israel's house, looming over a ghost town. My son, I don't have the strength to get to the truth. And you're too young to get wrapped up in this, so I will include this letter in my will. And when you're ready, you will read this letter. I'm not much of a talker, but writing makes it easier. I love you, my son. Blessings, your father, Francis Jerry Armijo.
El Campo Santo was recorded in the shadow of the Sandia Mountains in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico. This episode was written by Stephen Armijo. We are a production of Blackout Theater Company, made possible with generous grants from the City of Albuquerque's Cultural Affairs and New Mexico Arts. If you're interested in learning more about Blackout Theater, check out our website at blackouttheater.com.